Okay, where do we go from there?
We decided along the way, as we were driving around the counties, that we wanted to do these tapes that you could put in your car, kind of audio tours. And so we spent, you know, so you could drive from Mickey's house to Lola Golly, the rodeo queen's house in San Benito, and not that anyone else was on that road besides us, but anyway, we were sure that we would, you know, record everything between here and there, and you could put the tapes in, and we would partner with the AAA, or we would partner with gas stations or insurance companies or something, and we started to kind of develop this idea while we were still doing our local show, while we were still doing the oral history shows, while our things were going on NPR, but that this would be our new direction. And I think you had the idea of Route 66, if I remember right, but somehow, and I can't remember exactly that moment, but one of us, I think it was her, said, what about Route 66? That's because we were kind of thinking about roads and how you would do these tours, and suddenly it was like, oh, well, there's a road. Now you're talking.
Now there's a high mother road.
Yeah, history and all, needing all those elements and how, what was going to be the sound that kept people interested. But have you already gotten married by this point? And have we come from Alaska?
You moved.
No, but we hadn't done Route 66 yet because I did it after living here for a year.
You were driving when you drove back.
Right, but that's what I'm thinking. We went to Alaska somewhere in there.
So teaching kind of becomes part of this gig, that's right. Which we really like to do because it's fun to...
This is helpful to us, Charlie, because we have not pieced this together ever.
I know.
We've just lived this and maybe now that we've tried to piece it together, we could enhance our memory because it's really sliding.
Partly we could maybe fill in with some of the dates we're going to get right on that. No, I mean for ourselves. But the idea of teaching was great because we'd work with other producers at little stations, and we'd come in. The Alaska trip was fabulous. We went to Kodiak, Alaska, and we worked at a station for a month and then did several pieces while we were up there, as well
and
as teaching.
NPR happened to be in Alaska. There was a lot of serendipity in our life because NPR did All Things Considered live from Alaska that summer. So we were feeding all the stuff that we had been gathering all summer right to them. And again, we segued with them, so suddenly we knew Noah better and other producers, which is again what it takes to get to do interesting work with NPR, is people knowing you and you knowing them.
And then we went to Juneau, and we went to several other little towns in Alaska, to the public radio station.
Haines.
Ketchikan. And worked with the producers there. I don't know, did we do other... Then we started teaching at Western Public Radio as well. The very workshops that we had taken that got us going, they began inviting us to come and teach there to get the new crop of producers going, which is, I think, what's really missing in public radio right now is this lack of training, and we all miss that so much, what Western Public Radio did. And I mean, you really look at the work that they did, and all the reporters, all the people we've come to hear all the time grew up through that time, and there's nothing quite like it now. And then Davia went back to North Carolina.
Well, first I moved to San Francisco because I wanted to do film sound design, and I just thought, okay. And I'd lived in Santa Cruz for 10 years and just felt, okay, it was time. And, you know, never... And we just knew we'd figure it out. It was sort of like, okay, and I'll do film sound, and Nikki would have her museums, and we would just still continue. We didn't know. And you'd gotten married. You weren't pregnant when I
left. I don't know. I'd gotten married, probably. I got married in 82.
And then we went to Alaska. Her honeymoon was a double date. We all, four of us, went up to Alaska.
And we worked.
And they fished.
And they fished.
Oh.
And they were called, we were the Kitchen Sisters, and they were the Salmon Brothers. Yeah. And we had salmon and vodka every night.
That was great.
Oh, it was really good.
And then
Bro got a teaching, just when I thought my film sound career was beginning, and Randy Tom was going to help me. And my first job in film sound was, I think, the Ewok movie or whatever, and I had to, I was wrapped in padding and pillows and cushions, and they mic'd my body, and I had to throw myself down hills over and over again to get the sound of like some Ewok falling down mountains. And I thought, God, this is great. So I was at Skywalker Ranch falling off hills mic'd, And then Bro, my boyfriend, got a teaching job at UNC.
But, you know, didn't we do some other things? Like, we did all those pieces. When was Faces, Mirrors, Masks? Before?
Right at the same time.
Because that's those programs, too, we started working on with...
Because I was doing them out of North Carolina. Cabrera Infante and...
We did Cabrera Infante.
Remember, because I have all my notes of talking to you from the kitchen. And then I went, and then remember they did Ballad of a... Mm-hmm. NPR at the time, just in the same moment, started a series called Faces, Mirrors, Masks, 20th Century Latin American Fiction Writers, a program that was so ahead of its time and it should be re-aired endlessly. They were brilliant to come up with that idea. And they brought, it was amazing, they brought 12 of us there, maybe more, probably 20 of us, there to each work on it. And they put us in a crash course, like graduate school, in Latin American literature. And for 3 or 4 days, we sat there with all Joe Frank and Jay and Katie Davis and Larry Massett and all these people in, just absorbing everything about Latin American fiction. And then they signed out the stories, depending, they kind of did a mix and match, who, what writer and what producer. And we were given the exiled Cuban writer, Guillermo Cabrera Infante. And we traveled to England to meet him, and France to do some interviews, and then cast the stories out of New York, because we were dramatizing it, and mixed it in New York, mm-hmm. With Tom Lopez, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got to work with Tom Lopez. And then Nikki was pregnant, because mm-hmm. then they gave a second assignment for the Jorge Amado piece, and I went to Brazil, and you couldn't because of being pregnant, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is that what happened with that? And then we produced it together.
Right. So we were doing, even though we were living in different places, we were coming together to do these sort of pieces throughout. And I was having babies, and Davio was in movies, and I was doing museums, and we were sort of doing different things, but coming together for special projects.
And then Bro and I drove back across Route 66 together. We took the summer after his North Carolina job ended. And then we came back, and then Nikki and I took all the tape from the Route 66 trip, and then we shaped this history of Route 66 that we did at that point. And at the same time, for me, someone had sent me a book in the mail that was, they said, oh, this reminds me of your family. And it was called Imaginary Crimes, and I read this book, and I just said, I have to make a movie based on this book. I had never had that thought or idea before, but there was something about the book, and so... Simultaneously at this point, I then started trying to option the book, and a friend of mine from elementary school was the one person I knew in the film industry at that point, besides Randy Tom, and so we did that, and then so for the next 10 years, imagine as every story is going on between Nikki and I, and I'm starting to write a screenplay. So that's all going on now for the next decade till the film was made with Harvey Keitel. And so then simultaneously, so we come back, and now Randy Tom is helping us mix Route 66. And then when Route 66 was done, he said to me, what's next? And I said, movies, thinking film sound design. And he called me the next day or so, and he said, you have a job in movies. Yeah. He said, yes, you're working with Francis Coppola. I couldn't believe it. He said, yes, you're in casting. What? He said, well, it's the only job available. Do you want it? Yeah, I guess so. So I started, always thought, oh, film casting, I'll get into film sound any day now. And and then I just really liked casting. And so I began working in film casting then that was in 1984, on Peggy Sue Got Married.
On Peggy Sue Got Married.
Mm-hmm. First film.
Let me just check. Where's the time counter on this thing?
You have 2 hours. We have plenty of time on this.
Okay.
You have to go soon. You're wanted in tuba. I wanted
to.
You have to go do the tuba
okay.
people.
Well, at what time
is it? We're almost done.
We're up to 1984. But.